current events.
Cutting edge.
Faith.
It's awesome.
Encouragement on the go.
It's the SOS Radio Podcast.
We're talking with Dr. Tammy Malish today from City of Las Vegas on SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been interesting. My kids, they started school this past week, and I know CCSD starts this next week. And for working parents, this is just a strange season with most schools online. Some of the private schools and some of the charter schools are doing kind of a mix still, but working parents are just trying, how do we figure this out? It's going to be rough.
You know, it's going to be unique this year because I think it's going to present equal challenges to working parents as well as non-working parents. To be able to step into the role as educator is going to be a huge challenge for all parents. First of all, I think there's a difference when you're a parent versus a teacher trying to teach your kids. Sometimes how our kids roll our eyes at us and think we don't know much, but they're halfway convinced their teacher might know something. Parents are going to be required to step in and assist when kids are struggling with content. And for lower elementary grades may not be a struggle, but we're now in the Common Core era. And so for parents in the upper elementary grades, and for sure in middle and high school, it's going to be a challenge. Educated parents, working parents alike. I don't know about you, but the last time I took a trigonometry class or a biology class, it was a few years. And so, again, to try and help a kiddo with that kind of content is going to be a challenge.
I know. They don't call it, are you smarter than a fifth grader, for a reason, right?
Exactly.
You're like, long division fractions? Let me just pull up my phone and Google this, son, before I try to tell you how to do this.
Exactly.
It's going to be interesting because for working parents that normally would be in the office from 8 to 5 or 8 to 4 and then kids working at home and you have multiple kids, sometimes multiple logins, multiple schools, it's going to be a lot of juggling around. And your team has put together something called the Vegas Strong Academy to help some of these parents that are going, I don't know what to do.
Yes. So in response to the district's decision, in an attempt to serve the community, we stood up Vegas Strong Fall Academy. So those academies will provide full day childcare, so kids won't be left alone, which is one benefit. And then secondly, we'll be supporting their virtual or distance learning with the understanding that when parents get off work after 8 hours, 9 hours with travel, or even a 10-hour shift, to get home and do a couple of hours of online learning and then the work that accompanies it, there aren't going to be enough hours in the day. So we're going to try and fill that gap for parents and facilitate or support their online learning with CCSD's curriculum and teachers and allow them to get the work done so that hopefully when parents get off work and pick them up, they can go home and enjoy conversation and dinner and get ready for the next day.
So is this the sort of thing where you sign up and you do it for the whole week, or can you do it drop in? Like, does it require registration? How is Vegas Strong Academy going to work?
There's a one-time registration fee. It's $20. There is a variable rate for multiple children, but for a single child is $20. And then we offer a daily rate with the thinking that if a parent doesn't need a full week, we don't want them to have to pay for a full week. But we really prefer no drop-ins and prefer consistent scheduling. So if you only need 3 days a week, so that we know that we have the same populations, we're trying to keep our populations as pure as possible,
yeah,
both with staff and children, to create the safest environment. We will be adhering to all of the guidelines, social distancing. We're going to try and stick with the 6 foot just because they're kids. And 6 foot is really difficult. We know that the governor took it down 3 feet. But if we shoot for 6, we're thinking we can keep 3.
We'll meet you in the middle.
Yes. They're social beings. We're going to require face masks when they're in public spaces. When they're in classrooms and we can maintain social distancing, we will allow them to take their face masks off. The charge is $20 a day or $100 for the week. We are working with the Department of Health and Human Services and our local partner, Urban League, to provide subsidies for families that need that. And like I said, providing a safe place where we can accommodate the virtual learning and accommodate parents' work hours. We have locations all around town, and we are prepared to open additional sites as we hit capacity.
Okay.
Because each site has a limited capacity. We have large sites that have a capacity of 140. We have small sites that have a capacity of 24. So each site is unique that way. We hit capacity at our current sites, then we'll open up additional sites on a phased approach. We have currently a capacity of about 1,000 children.
Okay.
For the city. I know that Clark County, City of North Las Vegas, City of Henderson, Boys and Girls Club have also stood up programming similar, so that collectively we have a capacity of over 5,000. Considering CCSD has 130,000 kindergarten through fifth graders, 5,000 isn't very much, but we're hoping to do our part.
Yeah, I love that you've come up with some solutions, because that's the main thing everybody's calling saying, what do I do with my kids and work? You know, you already feel like you've been asking for a bunch of extra time off from your bosses. You've already been asking for flexibility. Can I come in late, or on Wednesdays when my school isn't meeting? What am I going to do? And this is a great solution. So here's the website if you're listening and you want to plug in and get a little more information. It's lasvegasnevada.gov/VegasStrongAcademy. Or you can actually call if you just want to talk to someone at 702-229-CARE. Okay, 702-229-CARE. We're talking with Dr. Tammy Malish today at SWS Radio from the city of Las Vegas. And we were talking about all the craziness of the schedule and when you're trying to work and you have kids in school and you're like, what do I do on the days I have to work? And I have multiple kids in multiple schools. And Tammy, what do you think our parents should be thinking about in regard to strategy and structure as we're starting this new school year? It's like, this is a whole new frontier.
I think parents should think about creating a school space at home, whether they're bringing their kids to us or keeping them at home. Think of a dedicated space where they have their schoolwork that is free from distractions to the extent possible. Think about consistency and scheduling. I know that during this time that school has been out, kids have probably been on alternate schedules, staying up late, sleeping in late. So getting kids back to a regular schedule as much as possible. Understanding that with the new schedule, with the synchronous and asynchronous learning, the expectation is that elementary kids are going to be online learning anywhere from 120 to 150 minutes a day.
Wow.
And then in addition to that, we'll have some accompanying work. And so it is going to be a little bit shorter day because they won't have those specials, library, music, art, PE, but it is going to be necessary that kids dedicate anywhere from 4 to 5 hours a day to this effort. And so I think that sometimes parents don't realize it's that much time. I think the other thing is broadband. What is your access like? The benefit we're going to have in our facilities is we have broadband in each of our centers, so parents won't have to worry about that during that time. But what worked for your family pre-COVID and online learning may not work anymore in this new landscape. You may not have the speed to get multiple learners online and accessing the content. So that's another thought. Think about if you have somebody caring for your child, whether it's one of our centers, an older sibling, an aunt, a grandparent, think about making sure they have access to your child's password and user ID so that if it needs to be reset, you don't lose a day of learning. They can get that reset for you. Make sure that your child's enrolled in school. CCSD is providing devices, Chromebooks, if children need them. But all of our facilities, we will have backup devices as well so that we can support, because this morning I forgot my laptop at home and I am a grown-up who is educated, who was trying to squeeze out a few more emails when I was getting ready. So plan for things like that. Again, at our sites, we will plan for that and have a backup plan. But I don't know that parents always think about that in homes or when they're bringing their child to someone in a home setting. So yeah, Kind of plan for those glitches that may occur. And then stay connected as parents. The beautiful thing about Canvas, which is the learning management system that CCSD will be using, as a parent, you have the ability to log in and see your child's progress, see how much time they spent on tasks. Are they just going through and clicking answers, or are they making thoughtful choices? So parents can still be connected, even working parents who might feel a little bit guilty about having to work and send their child somewhere else for this. Don't think of it that way. You can still stay connected more so than you could when they were at school all day.
I know, and it's an interesting season because I know a lot of us are thinking like, oh, this school year is going to be crazy, but maybe there's actually some opportunity here because a lot of our kids didn't really like school last year or the year before that. And maybe this year they're thinking, I'd rather play video games. I like going online. I like playing video games. I like typing and coding and figuring things out. And maybe we're going to find that some of our kids really thrive in this in an amazing way, or our kids realize, wow, I really don't like this, but the way I was doing school last year really wasn't as bad as I thought, Mom.
I think there are going to be kids who are going to be eager and anxious to get back and have a whole new appreciation for school, who took it for granted, you know, like we do as adults, kids do the same, and parents as well. I think other parents are going to discover that online learning might be a good fit for their child. It is not for everyone. I know a lot of adults that take an online class, and in theory, it sounds great, right? Once I finish dinner and put the kids to bed, you know, then I'll sit down and do this. And then a good movie comes on, or then your spouse says, let's go for a walk. You know, things happen. And we have these great intentions. For kids, equally, this is going to be a challenge. Some kids are going to thrive in this environment. This generation has grown up in a digital age, more so than my generation. I know when I'm trying to watch a movie or get into Apple TV, I call my six-year-old grandson into the room because he knows how to zip, zip, zip and get me in. I don't know. And so for some of them, they may thrive in this environment and they may see that online learning is a legitimate option. And there are online learning providers. CCSD also has an online learning option that will remain intact throughout this process and after this process. So if that seems like a better fit, I think it's going to be a great time to figure that out.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. Malish, when we think about like our kids being online for 120, 150 minutes a day doing the school and then doing their homework, which is now, you know, part of the whole curriculum, right? And we think about it as just like the after school stuff, but it's like, hey, we're going to do this in the group setting now. You're going to take this and do your work, whether it's on your tablet or with the pencil and paper like us old school parents want to do, right? But what do you think about screen time and how we should be thinking about how that affects the development of our kids? Because, you know, there's the learning part of it. And then there's, you know, swiping our tablets, playing video games, pressing our buttons, watching TV. It's just like, I don't even know what to think about all of it when our kids are online so much this year.
Right. So screen time is going to take on a new meaning. I think most parents, the concern with screen time is the impact visually and to the brain. You know, we see media about kids actually having really adverse impacts. That's kind of that gaming screen time, the speed with which the change of colors, that dynamic that makes video gaming so cool and interesting is also the part that we have to be cautious about, especially with the young brain as parents. This screen time is going to be different. The other thing with screen time is the texting, the cell phones, the social media, the limited characters or the speed with which we want to message. What happens is we get lazy. Right? We start using abbreviations, LOL, and we start spelling words phonetically just because of limited characters. So that we fear has an impact on, can our children even know how to spell and construct sentences anymore? This new screen time in this virtual learning is going to blend those two worlds and require them to put together constructive sentences, eliminate these abbreviations. And so I think it's going to give them a good balance for the appropriate use of screen time. What I would caution parents for is, I know in the old version of schooling, we had our kids go to school during the day, and then we might have bargained for screen time after hours. So for every
No one's ever done that.
Some parents, it's a negotiation. We're teaching our kids the art of negotiations. Now, I think I would really caution parents to be thoughtful about the fact that the thing that's going to be missing now is those social skills, those soft skills, We're going to have to provide that in the home setting and on the weekends. So how do we get along with others? How do we share? How do we socially interact when people aren't being kind or being kind of bullies? That navigating that social, the socialization and social skills, that's going to be the things that parents are going to have to gap fill on the evenings and weekends. And so look for those settings where you can put kids together in a safe environment, whether it's family members or groups in your neighborhood, where they can have those constructive social skills. I think that's going to be really important and really important for parents to continue that after hours.
It's going to be an interesting season, but there's lots of opportunity. And I'll tell you what, we're talking with Dr. Tammy Malish from the city of Las Vegas. And the Vegas Strong Academy is a resource that her team has put together for this fall semester. If your family is kind of struggling, figuring out, like, what are we going to do between work, and before school care, after school care, or during the day? I mean, that's the big thing with multiple kids, multiple screens and different schools. And you have a whole bunch of different community centers all over Las Vegas. And if you want to know more, you can literally Google Vegas Strong Academy. And Henderson has a separate one called Battleborn Kids. You can Google if you want to know more. But Tammy, in Las Vegas, you're at a lot of different community centers all around the valley.
We're at community centers and libraries. We have 10 sites open right now. We have another 6 that are ready to open in phase 2 should the need arise. We'll be open from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., hoping to accommodate parent work hours. If parents need something outside of that, we will, if we have a big enough demand, we will look at accommodating. We're going to be open Monday through Friday. The community centers and senior centers are dedicated to this work only. There will not be additional individuals in those facilities. The libraries, we will be in isolated areas. The public library portion will be, they are currently open to the public. They will remain open. And so there will be library kind of business going on. And then we will be in theaters, auditoriums, classrooms adjacent to working with our Vegas Strong kiddos. We will be supporting recreational activities, sports units, social emotional learning, arts and crafts. And then the biggest part of the day is going to be the distance learning through CCSD or Canvas learning. We can accommodate other types of virtual learning other than CCSD, but our primary focus is going to be providing a service in the CCSD space.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if you want to know a little more about this and you're thinking that sounds like it could be an option for our family and the flexibility that we need with our work hours throughout the week, Monday through Friday, you can find out more at lasvegasnevada.gov/Vegas Strong Academy, or you can literally pick up your phone. You can call 702-229-CARE. It's 229-CARE. And there's financial assistance available for families that really can't afford the $20 a day. You're working to help with that, and the Urban League is getting involved.
Absolutely. And I also would point out that we will schedule based on what CCSD does. So our plan currently is to remain open in this format through this first semester. But my guess is when CCSD returns, whether it's not until January or sooner, they'll probably do a phased return. They probably won't go from completely virtual. I have no insider information, but my thought process. So if they go to a blended model like they originally anticipated, then we will adjust accordingly to provide parents that coverage. The other thing that I didn't mention, we will also be putting community navigators out in the community at these locations, as well as at Southern Nevada Regional Housing Authority buildings, to help support parents who don't need full day care or don't need this option, but they need somebody to bridge that gap for them. So we will connect parents, give them, whether it's a website or a phone number, printed material, we will help bridge the gap for parents out in the community as well, to the extent there is a need, so that parents don't feel like that they're on this island all by themselves.
702-229-CARE. All right. Well, thank you so much. Anything else that you wanted to mention that you're working on that's different projects that you're like, well, I'll be rolling this out in a couple of weeks or something, but I've got some other thoughts on education? Or,
well, we will definitely be getting into other business, continuing our regular business, Mayor's Fund, our Latino network, our Reinvent Schools supporting that work, our workforce connections, and our revitalization of the historic West Side. So those projects are all continuing as well. Our primary focus right now is getting this open for Monday morning, but we haven't discontinued any of the other work, and we will continue to ramp that work up. We know that, you know, workforce and training redevelopment is really important right now as people have lost their jobs, as businesses are unable to reopen. How do we create a workforce that can get back out on their feet and working? And so that's an equally important function of what we do. Our mayor's faith-based initiative is really a huge bridge to our community in so many ways, from education, from violence prevention, from suicide awareness. It's just a group that really is supportive in so many different issues that plague our community. And so, again, trying to keep all of those going, all of those balls in the air, as well as get this new one up in the air.
I know. And it's been cool because with things like RECAP, the part of that that's rebuilding every city around peace, it kind of started with how do we deal with some of the gang issues that are going on in our city? How do we go out when there is a gang attack or a sort of violent crime that happens in the middle of the night? And we don't want to have like it escalate into something where there's a bunch of retaliatory crimes and a bunch of pastors and community leaders and counselors said, hey, we'll go. Just call us and we'll go out there. We'll help the police officers, or we'll help the families that lost a loved one, or we'll help those that are just really frustrated and feel like an injustice has happened, or not just feel, but see an injustice that's literally happened, and say, okay, how can we go and help just speak to this situation before this turns into something where we react in anger? And pastors like Troy Martinez and John Ponder and many others have got involved, and that's grown into something now where other police departments around the country are looking at the city of Las Vegas and this RECAP program saying, like, violent crime is like dropped in these areas, like unsolved crimes in these areas have dropped since this has been going on, which is well over a decade. And they're saying, wait a second, like, how is this happening in a city? Like, people think of Las Vegas as Sin City, but they're saying, wait, this is a city where the police relations are a lot different than what we're seeing in a lot of other places like Minneapolis and Portland and LA and Austin right now.
Well, definitely different than large urban cities, but even some of the smaller cities comparatively to us, you're right. I think, you know, John Ponder has done so much to get people to rethink how we respond to incarcerated populations upon release. We have two options. You know, we can turn a blind eye. We know that, you know, people will resort to survival skills when presented with challenges. And so we can embrace them and create a situation where they become a part of society again and the recidivism goes down, or we can pretend that, you know, it's not going to happen and we can suffer those consequences. I think John has really created a situation where people are rethinking that, especially looking at the success, as you mentioned, Pastor Troy and Pastor Hatch. I mean, some of the things that they have put in place, and as you said, the impact to crime, gang activity, violence in the community, we are seeing positive effects. We cannot do this as a single organization. We cannot do it without a religious front, a presence of religion and prayer and just the compassion and kindness. Not that people who aren't religious don't hold those qualities, but we know those qualities exist in our Christian communities. And without that sense of we are a community, and I think you raise another great point. People see Vegas as Sin City and it is an adult playground and not really a community. We are a community. We are a thriving community with families. I was born and raised here, 57 years of my life in this community. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget that there are actual families here, just like any other city, that we don't all work on the strip. We're not all cocktail waitresses. Not that there's anything wrong with that either, but we have actual community members. Our kids go to school like everywhere else. Well, normally, like everywhere else. And I think they have made such great progress in bringing that community feeling back into Vegas and creating that strong community presence, which has created peaceful protest opportunities, conversations where people are able to sit at the table and talk through issues that have resulted in crime and violence in other cities. And so I think that's a great avenue to create change and see a resolve of very challenging issues that have been in existence for centuries in some cases. And other cities are struggling with those. And I think our city has created a great approach.
Absolutely. Oh, it's been fun to work with you and your team and, you know, and appreciate you reaching out to the church community and saying, hey, you know, if you want to volunteer, if you want to help, if you have ideas, you want to serve, like, let's just, you know, brainstorm and let's look at some of the social challenges that haven't changed over the last couple of decades. And let's look for some ways to start working on some of those things so we can make the city a better place to live.
You know, and we're fortunate in the city of Las Vegas because our mayor, Mayor Goodman, is committed to this. This is a passion project of hers. She believes in this from her heart. And I think, you know, that allows us and affords us the opportunity to do this work. Not every city has that type of leadership that is willing to consider commingling the faith-based community and the government side of the work. We are fortunate that we have a mayor that sees the value of that. And I think it's proven in the results.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for your time today, Dr. Malish. It's always fun to chat with you and work with your team. Vegas Strong Academy, if you want to get a little more information on that, lasvegasnevada.gov/Vegas Strong Academy. If you're looking at what are we going to do with our kids in this challenging new school year, there's a lot of resources and community centers and libraries that are doing care all throughout the day. Thanks, Tammy.
Thank you.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.